We left off on Wednesday. We were beginning to discuss the parameters of Dvarim Shebichtav, yet that Rosh Hashanah will be our path. The starting point of the Gemara Gittin is that one is not allowed to say Pesukim by heart. The Gemara derives this from a Pasuk. We weren't 100% sure whether this is a Din Min HaTorah or Din Min HaRabbanan. We started to get vibes from some sugyas, from some Mishonim, and in fact we're only dealing with the Nisa HaRabbanan here. We saw a Gemara Maseches Yuma that spoke about how in the Beis HaMikdash and Yom Kippur the Kohen Gadol seemed to violate this Nisa because they were stuck. They couldn't figure out a way to get out a second Sefer Torah. They couldn't roll the first Sefer Torah. So basically they told the Kohen Gadol he's allowed to read the Pesukim B'Yapeh. How could that be? How could you violate a Nisa D'Oraisa for that? So we said it's most probably only Midrabanan. We even saw on Wednesday, we spoke about the Sefer Yoreim's reasonings for why they made this Nisa D'Rabanan. Either they were afraid people would stop writing Svarim if everything could be done B'Yapeh, or they were afraid people were going to people can get very skeptical whether things are really in the text or not. People aren't going to believe when the rabbi darshens, if he's not reading from a book. So for a variety of reasons, Chazal made this Issa D'Rabbanan. The question is, ready enough Kamin Ladina for us? The fact that it's only D'Rabbanan, the fact that we're almost going to look the other way under extenuating circumstances, so we began to analyze the Gemara Maseches Megillah Daf Yud Ches. So the Gemara told us in Megillah Daf Yud Ches that when you lay Megillah, so it's not so critical that all the words are there. Missing a word here and there, it's not the end of the world. Even up to half of the Sefer would be acceptable. And the reason is because it's called an Igeris. An Igeris, by definition, is a letter. It's a very, very informal way of writing. And therefore, even though you're missing a couple of words, a couple of letters, that would not disqualify the Megillah. It's clear that when we say the Megillah is not disqualified, we have to say the words. If you don't say the entire Megillah, then for sure you're not Yotzei. So obviously the person is reading the words that are not there. So the question is, does that raise a red flag? Is that a problem? The fact that the halacha permits a person to read a Megillah with words that are clearly missing, does that teach us something about Dvarim Shebichtav et HaRosh Hashanah B'Yapeh? So even on a more practical basis, Megillah is only once a year, but this Gemara Maseches Megillah may serve now as a model for Kriyas HaTorah as well. So we have to take this little bit of a step back, a little bit of an introduction, to appreciate what the Rishonim are saying in the Sugya of Kriyas HaTorah, how Dvarim Shebichtav is potentially going to play out very, very much for us, halacha l'maaseh. So let's just backpedal for a moment. When we discuss the mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah, for the most part, we're probably dealing with the mitzvah midrabbanan. I say for the most part because every once in a while there is a Kriyas HaTorah deraisa, Pasha Zohar maybe deraisa, according to some maybe Pasha's Par deraisa. There is a Ritva that says that maybe Kriyas HaTorah and Shabbos and Yom Tov may be deraisa. That may be part of Mikra Kodesh, the Ramban says, but that's already questionable. But the Kriyas HaTorah of a regular Monday or Thursday, a regular weekday, is for sure only midrabbanan. As such, the Rishonim raised a question: to what standards must the Sefer Torah have in order to fulfill this mitzvah? If we would be dealing with, let's say, a Kriyas HaTorah D'Oraisa, let's say for argument's sake, Hakel, so once every 7 years, you have to read the Sefer Torah in the Beis HaMikdash, so there has to be a full-fledged Sefer Torah. So the definition of a Sefer Torah means, from Beis, Abrashas, to Lamed of Lady Cholesterol, every letter has to be written properly. No less than, when the Torah gives us a mitzvah for putting on tefillin, so the four parshas, every letter has to be there. Mezuzah, all the letters of all both parshas have to be there. So when the Torah speaks about a cheftz of a Sefer Torah on a level of deraisa, obviously the standards are quite high. It has to be a perfect, complete, every single word, every single letter there. But we're not dealing with that. We're talking about only a mitzvah derabbanan of Kriyas HaTorah. So do we have reason to believe that the standards for fulfilling Kriyas HaTorah midrabbanan perhaps are less than the standards for Hakel deraisa? Perhaps less than the standards of tefillah and mezuzah, those of course mitzvahs deraisa. So that was a big dispute between the Rishonim. So there were many, many Rishonim of the opinion that once Chazal instituted the mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah, so the words speak for themselves, Kriyas HaTorah. You have to read from a Torah, from a Sefer Torah. The definition of a Sefer Torah means a Sefer Torah that's written, the kashrus, from beginning to end. So if there's a mistake, if there's anything missing in the Sefer Torah, so the sugya is over, you know, Dam Shachrus, there's nothing to talk about. How can you possibly even dream of reading, of fulfilling the mitzvah, the Rabban of Kriyas HaTorah, from a Sefer Torah that's anything but 100% kosher? And there was another view in Rishonim that disagreed. The other view in Rishonim says, no. Now, when we're dealing with deraisas, so then the standards are quite high. They have to be 100% kosher. If you're only dealing with the mitzvah derabbanan anyway, such as Kriyas HaTorah, it's not the end of the world. Even lower standard is okay. You can't read out of a chumash. You have to read out of something that looks like a Sefer Torah, resembles a Sefer Torah. But if it's missing, missing a letter here is cracked, a sofa forgot a word, you have a couple of mistakes here and there. As long as fundamentally the Sefer Torah is intact, that would be acceptable for the purposes of Kriyas HaTorah. That was a big machlekes Rishonim with some very, very real nafkaminas. And again, this is going to serve as the background for our discussion. We may not finish the background before the end of the shiur today, but this is still the background of today's discussion. Who are the Rishonim who discuss this topic? So one of the most pivotal Rishonim in this topic is the Rambam. The reason why the Rambam is so pivotal is because he says two different things in two different places. The Rambam in a tshuva writes like sides with the Mekilim, sides with the lenient view. The Rambam writes in a tshuva that one can fulfill the mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah, one can make brachas, one can lane without any hesitation, even though the Sefer Torah is quote-unquote posel. It's missing a letter, it's missing a word, missing a couple of words, big deal, doesn't matter. It's only midrabban anyway, therefore the standards are not all that high. But the Rambam in the Sefer Mishneh Torah, in the Sefer Halacha, doesn't say that. The Rambam Mishneh Torah writes explicitly that if a Sefer Torah is missing even one letter, you cannot lane with it. So there's a steve, there's a contradiction in Rambam's. It's not the first, not the last contradiction in Rambam's. The Rambam wrote his tshuvas throughout the course of his lifetime. So people change their minds. Something that I said in the Shia 20 years ago, do I remember what I said 20 years ago? So just because the Rambam wrote a tshuva at one stage in life doesn't mean that when he wrote Mishneh Torah that he necessarily agreed to that view. We generally take the approach that when it says the Mishneh Torah is more authoritative, Mishneh Torah was the Rambam's well-thought-out, planned, meticulous presentation of all of halacha, and that seems to carry the day in terms of what the final psak of the Rambam was. But there was a dissenting view, even within the Rambam's works himself, and there was a dissenting view in other Rishonim as well. How do we with a capital W, how do we paskin halacha in the shayla? Must the Sefer Torah be kosher to fulfill Kriyas HaTorah or not? So the answer to that question is, depends what you mean by that question. That must the Sefer Torah be kosher with all its letters and all its words, etc.? So on a level of the Chachila, for sure the answer is yes. Namely, that nobody today is going to intentionally take out a Sefer Torah to begin to lane from, knowing that it's missing a couple of words, knowing that it's puzzle. So if you open up there in Kurdish and there's a gartel around the Sefer Torah, because last week they found a mistake and it wasn't fixed yet, nobody today would advocate taking out that Sefer Torah l'chadchila and beginning to lane. So that's out of the question. But the question is, it happened already. We already laned. So we just finished laning by Yaakov Pekudei, and then the last puzzle we find is a mistake. Now, obviously the mistake didn't happen now. It's missing a letter, so it didn't happen the last 10 seconds. Obviously, it was missing a letter from before. So what do you do now? So do you take the approach that, well, you didn't fulfill the mitzvah, Kriyas HaTorah, so then you better start all over again? What would that mean? Go back to Vayakal, 7 more aliyahs, and sit for another hour. That would be one approach. Or do I say, no, that maybe, at least after the fact, with the event, we can rely on the view that what appears in the Tshuva Sarama appears in some other small group of Rishonim, that maybe b'diavad the Kriyas HaTorah would have been acceptable, even though the Sefer Torah was puzzled. So here, most poskim side with this distinction, that we have a right to the friendship between a shayla lechachila and a shayla b'diavad. Lechachila, nobody today is going to tell you to take out a Sefer Torah that's puzzled, quote unquote puzzled, but b'diavad, if you're already lane from a puzzled Sefer Torah, now you realize it later, so b'diavad, you need not repeat the laning.
So the basis is on the word kriya, that is focused on the mitzvah of just doing the kriya, because there's no other mitzvah. If there's a chisaron in the chefzo of the mitzvah, that you're making the mitzvah b'diavad. If you take a rule of an esrog that are the rabban today, or you do any mitzvah the rabban, if there's a chisaron in the chefzo of the mitzvah, you're not making the mitzvah.
Well, sometimes some mitzvahs the rabban chazal did lower the standards. Even rule of an esrog is a good example, that if a person takes a lulav and esrog today that maybe is not up to par for the first day, which would be the araisa, maybe you want yotze after the first day. So we do find that Chazal lowered the standards for mitzvahs derabanan. So that's what some Rishonim say, that they never lower the standards for this. We have no source in the Gemara to say that. And other Rishonim have diyukim for the Gemara, then maybe they did lower the standards. So this psach that we have.
Is there a third issue at what point does the Sefer Torah become not kosher? Only when you notice it. So until that point, it doesn't have a cheskas kosher.
No, but
it was kosher, and now it's not kosher.
Well, that would be true if it would be a type of a mistake that could have developed over time. So let's say, for example, we're laning, and all of a sudden we find that something rubbed out a drop. So then, to say that it wasn't rubbed out 20 minutes ago is hard to believe, but to say that maybe last week it wasn't rubbed out, maybe. But if there's a different word there. I remember once we had a Hakhnas Sefer Torah somewhere, and then mamash the next week, they were laning at the beginning of Parshas Vayera, and they got to the Pasuk, Af Unam Eleid, it's supposed to be Vani Zakanti, it said Vani Tzachakti. It was a mistake. His mamash the sofer had just, his eye slipped. He wrote the wrong word. So it would be really, really hard to sell that idea that it was really the right, it switched in the last 20 minutes. So there's some mistakes that are just clearly obvious that the letter's missing. So clearly it happened from the very beginning. So the source for this psak that we have, which is the background for our discussion, is a psak given by the Rebbe of the Beis Yosef. The Shulchan Aruch himself's Rebbe was Rebbe Yaakov Bey Rav. He was a very interesting personality. He just, as an aside, he was the one who tried to reinstitute the smicha process in Tzvat in the 1500s. He got all the rabbanim in Tzvat together and declared that they're going to start giving out the authentic smicha back to Moshe Rabbeinu, because the Rambam writes that if you gather all the Tamil Chum in Eretz Yisrael and you want to restart the smicha process, you could do so. So nobody actually thought of doing it, but the Mari Be'Rav, Yecha Be'Rav, decided to do it. And he began to give smicha to the Shulchan Aruch, to other Tamidim, and the Rabbanim in Yerushalayim at the time got very, very upset, and it was a big sichsuch, it was a big argument for quite some time, and then eventually it died down, and they stopped, and I said they never continued giving smicha. So that was the Mari Be'Rav. Those who've been in Tzvat, so very familiar with the shul, the Mari Be'Rav shul, I can't say that what goes on there now is necessarily an indication, but it's I think the Kalbach Center now for Tzvat, but whatever, different personalities have changed over the years. But anyway, but the Mari Be'Rav was the one who was responsible for this psach, the Shulchan Aruch quotes, that if you lay in the ready b'di'evet, no, Sefer Torah still is okay b'di'evet, even though we would never advocate laying l'chachila for Pal Sefer Torah, but whatever happened, that happened. One time in yeshiva, we had a shalom years ago already, before I was married, we had a shalom, it was Pashas Parah. And Pashas Parah, according to some, maybe a Shabbat Deraisa. And lo and behold, they found a mistake in the middle of laning in Pashas Parah. So the question is whether you have to go back and lane Pashas Parah over again. So some people were quoting, it says in Shulchan Aruch, but you don't have to go back. And others were saying, no, but it says in Shulchan Aruch, the reason you don't go back is because Kriyas HaTorah is only Derabanan, that's why we can be Mekel. But if it would have been Deraisa, you'd have to go back. To which others responded, but the Gros says that Pashas Parah is not really Deraisa. To which others responded, but the Shulchan Aruch says that it is. So it was a whole fight broke out in the yeshiva about this very Nakudas, because I don't know, 25, 30 years ago or so. Anyway, getting back to our story. So up until now, we've been talking about how no one's going to encourage today to take out a Sefer Torah that's possible. If it's missing a letter, that's not going to happen today. But the evidence, they already laying, they finished all parish, and then all of a sudden they realize when they get to the, when they come back from Mincha, they realize that, wait a second, there's a mistake on Sefer Torah, so we're not going to make them lay over again. Those are the easy cases. But now we get to the more complicated cases. Now we get to what would the din be if a person's in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah, and all of a sudden they realize, uh-oh, there's a letter missing, there's a word missing, there's a line missing. So now what do you do at that point? So now we almost start to get to that merging, the very blurring of lines between what's called the chadchila and what's called b'di'evet. Because remember, the guidelines that we're using, the chadchila, we're going to insist on lady from a quote-unquote kosher Sefer Torah, but whatever happened, happened. Whatever happened, yeah, but we're not going to go back for it. So the person's in the middle of lady, the middle of the fourth Aliyah, and he realizes, oh, yeah, yeah, there's a whole line, whole word missing. So what happens at that point? So we could, rest on the Mari Be'Rav. We could say, well, the Mari Be'Rav, the Shulchan Aruch told us, whatever happened, happened. So what we're not going to do is, we're not going to make you go all the way back to the beginning. Just parenthetically, not everyone accepted the Mari Be'Rav. Everyone and actually disagreed with it. And we tell everybody that it's a moot shot, you got to start all over again. But again, most people don't follow that. Somebody told me once, they were davening in Tzvat a couple of years ago on a Shabbos, there was a mistake in the Sefer Torah, and the rabbi in Tzvat Paskin, like the Gra, you have to go all the way back to the beginning. So I thought that was rather strange, because the Mari Be'Rav, that psak was issued in Tzvat. He was the Shulchan Aruch, the Mari Be'Rav, the Rabbanim, the Dayanim of Tzvat. So that was a little strange that we followed the Gra Shita. And again, sometimes you have a lot of strange things. I remember I was once in the Ramah Shul in Krakow, and there was a shayla that came about saying of Tachanun. So I thought that the appropriate answer would be whatever the Ramah would have said. So believe it or not, I got into a fight with an argument with somebody in the shul. I said that we should take a look at the Ramah. There happened to be there was a Mishnah Berurah. There was one volume of Mishnah Berurah on the shelf. It happened to be the right chelik beis. So we took a look whatever the Ramah said. So I said whatever I think the Ramah said that you should say Tachanun that given day. So I said, I think we should follow the Minigah of the Ramah. So somebody argued, no. So the Minigah of the Ramah is not binding anymore. Why? Because whenever there was a break in Masorah, there hasn't been a minyan yet from the Holocaust for 60, 70 years till people started to go visit the Krakow. So for two generations, there was no Minigah anymore. So once the Minigah is broken, we're not bound by the Minigah of the Ramah. I thought that was funny. I said, okay, I'm not saying we're bound by the Minhag HaRamah. I'm saying just common sense dictates. You're not sure. Should sit down. So instead of sitting there and flipping a coin, we're sitting in crack on the Ramah Shul. So we asked the Ramah what to do. I thought I wasn't so compelled with that argument. What people will do, the extent people will do, not say Tachanun. They'll spend more time arguing about not saying Tachanun than that. It wasn't a Monday, Thursday morning. It was a Tuesday afternoon Mincha. It wasn't the end of the month. It was once... once flying back from Eretz Yisrael, and there was an engine trouble in the plane, so they had to make a stop in Rome. So we were stuck in Rome for a few hours until they got onto another plane. So we had a Davar Shachris in the airport. So we were Davar Shachris, so there were a group of people who said that there's no Tachanun today. Why is no Tachanun? Because there's no Sefer Torah. A new rule. The Ramah says that you don't fall in the field of Sapayim when there's no Sefer Torah, but nobody says not say Tachanun. So this person announced there's no Tachanun because there's no Sefer Torah. So one of the boys from Yeshiva said, not true, and he opens up his knapsack and he takes out a Sefer Torah this big. He was transporting a Sefer Torah for a shul back from Eretz Yisrael. He was mamish carrying without the Eitz Chaim. He had the whole cloth of Sefer Torah in the tablet. So the person was floored. He said he couldn't believe it that he had to say Tachanun, even though he thought he was going to get a freebie that day. And the whole Tachanun took 3 seconds, and it took an hour and a half till they determined whether they had to say Tachanun. Psychologically, people get into this. Okay, back to our story. So now we're walking on a tightrope here. So we want to know, is this a lechet chilusha or a b'di'evet shaila? So whatever happened up until now is a b'di'evet shaila. But what do I do from here on in? So I found the mistake now, but I'm in the middle of the aliyah. What do I do? So here, l'chor, the halacha says, well, you can't continue in a lane. Because to let you continue in a lane, that's like leading lechet chila from Apostle Sefer Torah. So the guy's really in a pickle. Vis-a-vis what he laned up until now, until 2 seconds ago, we said, okay, b'di'evet, that's okay. That's what the Maariv Rav Shulchan Aruch says, b'di'evet is good. But to let him continue to read, that would be a violation, that would be a problem. That would be telling somebody, l'chatchila, to lay from Pal Sefer Torah. So you got to stop. Okay? You have to stop dead in your tracks. So the question is, what would that mean, to stop dead in your tracks? How would that play out, even, to stop dead in one's tracks? So come the Rishonim, have a major machlokes. What do you do? It's a very common shaila. What do you do at that point when you're caught? How much you're caught in that type of a situation? So there's another thing that complicates the shaila, because in Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah, you're not allowed to always stop dead in your tracks. You're not allowed to just stop ending aliyah just like that. There are guidelines, there are parameters in halacha when you're allowed to end an aliyah and when not. The Gemara in the third Pekel Megillah tells us that you can't end an aliyah unless you read 3 psukim. You can't have a less than a 3 pasuk aliyah. So let's say the person is starting to read Breshias Bro Lakibas Hashmaim Vazarts, and then he realizes the next word Vaarts isn't there. So what are you going to tell him? Stop in your tracks. And do what? What are you supposed to do exactly at that point? You can't stop an aliyah just less than 3 psukim. Well, what if, even if the person, he's read already 25 psukim, but he happens to realize the problem, the mistake of the Sefer Torah, at a point when it's within 3 psukim of a psucha or a stuma, within a break in the Sefer Torah? So there's a whole story in Megillah where you're not allowed to stop there either. So you can make as many osafos as you want, but you have to be careful. I mean, on a Monday and Thursday, you can't make osafos. On a Shabbos, you can make as many osafos as you want, but you always have to be careful when you make osafos, not to make osafos in the wrong place. So this is not a free-for-all, not a freebie. It's just stop wherever you want. So now, this guy's in a real, real pickle. So he's sitting there, looking at the mistake, realizing that he can't go on the way it is. On the other hand, he may not even be able to stop where he is. So what is he supposed to do? So it's obvious. He can't fix the Sefer Torah on the spot. So what in the world, what options are available for him? So there are many, many, many different approaches in the Rishonim. What options are available for him? So we're going to talk a little bit about this from our vantage point of Dvar Shebichsav, Yet HaRash Shalom V'Be'al. So comes the Mordechai on the 9th of the Maamar Kamos. The Mordechai Maseches Megillah and writes, he's commenting off of the Gemara Megillah we just read on Wednesday about if you're laning the Megillah, not the Sefer Torah, you're laning the Megillah, and you realize there's a mistake, don't worry about it. It's less than Rove anyway. So comes the Mordechai and says, Minoye Shlomot, from this Sugya in Maseches Megillah, we could derive the following. The Sefer Torah, the Chaserim Ba'osius, Otevos, Oposok. You have a Sefer Torah that's missing a letter, missing a word, missing a whole posuk, the Sefer Mamish Guft. The Ein Lahafsik Lekore Lahavi Sefer Torah Cheres says the Mordechai, don't stop dead in your tracks and take out another Sefer Torah. That's the wrong approach. Probably most of us are scratching our heads and saying, we've seen this happen all the time. So the Mordechai says, don't do that. Why? What should you do, said the Mordechai? Elekore Osabi Alpeh. He says, no big deal. So read the word. You have to say the word. If you don't say the word, then you didn't fulfill Kriyas HaTorah. So read the word. So if you get to Precious Bro Lekim Esrem as Arts, and then you realize, uh-oh, the next word for Arts isn't there, no big deal. V'ha'ah, close your eyes. V'ha'ah, it's not there anyway. V'ha'ah, say the word. And not so terrible. So the Mordechai already is sensitive to the fact that, what do you mean you say it, Ba'al Peh? Didn't we learn the sugya of the Baruch Yet the Rosh Hashanah Pei? Not allowed to do that. So he says, no, not so terrible. Kaven the lo efshar, since there's no other option. Shetchilas adav lohayedai to the kos bial peh. Said you weren't planning on doing it that way. That wasn't your original intention. You got yourself into a dilemma that the word is not there and there's nothing you can do about it. So the Mordechai says that's okay. How did the Mordechai know that's okay? Well, in Kriyas Megillah, it's okay. At the end of the day, the Gemara Megillah says that if you're missing a few words in the Megillah, you could read them. You have to read the whole Megillah from beginning to end. So you're going to read words ba'al peh. So how can you do that? So you see from here, reading words ba'al peh is not terrible. It's not the end of the world. It's not something we like to do, but if you're stuck and your push comes to shove, you have to do it. So then you, in fact, do it. So therefore, the Mordechai says, if we do it by Kriyas HaMegillah, then we can do it by Kriyas HaTorah as well. So what do you see from this Mordechai? That he's taking that principle in the Gemara in Maseches Megillah and putting it together with the Gemara Maseches Yuma that we spoke about in the base of Mikdash and Yom Kippur and developing this principle that this Isser Gomor Dvarim Shemitzav, the name of our sugya, it's not as disagreeable as we thought it was. It's not absolutely usur. It's something we try to avoid, something we shouldn't set up l'chadchila. But if you're stuck and you're in an otherwise impossible position, because of that, you're allowed to read about that. How could you defend such a position? Is it usur or is it mutter? So there's a throwback that we spoke about on Wednesday. If this would be a real bona fide issur d'oraisa, the Gemara in Gittin meant that literally, that we're learning out from Psukim, that it's an issur gomor min haTorah to say dvarim shebichsav b'al peh, then none of this would fly. We would never, ever be mata this, ever, even under extenuating circumstances. That's like saying, well, it's a shas al chak, you don't know what to do, so we treif. If it's also derais, it's also derais, finished. So what should you do? Close the sefer Torah and go home, I'll do something, but don't read the pasuk beyond that. That's not an option. So the fact that the Mordechai and the Tosfos Yerushalmi from Wednesday, and the simple reading of the Gemara in Yuma, and the simple reading of the Gemara in Megillah, are all pointed in the directions that there are exceptions to this Isser, that this Isser is not as bona fide Isser as we thought it was. These are all adding up together, all pointing in the same direction, that we are not dealing with Torah prohibitions here. We're dealing with Miri Surim Drabbanan, maybe for the reasons of the Sefer Reim, maybe we'll see there are other reasons we shouldn't give, but if this would have been a D'araisa, then we wouldn't have budged. We would never ever permit such a activity. So the question is this argument really convincing? Are these Rishonim between the Tos Yishanim and the Mordechai based on these Gemaras, are they really convincing that this is in fact the case? So if we take a look in Shulchan Aruch, and I guess the Shulchan Aruch is about Peh also, I don't think I put it in the Merim Kavos, but in Shulchan Aruch and in Ramah, Nuchus Kriyas HaTorah, so for the most part, the Mordechai's view is not accepted. That what the Mordechai is describing of, oh, no big deal, just read it B'al Peh, that is not what we do in Nuchus Kriyas HaTorah. That's not what our practice is in Nuchus Kriyas HaTorah. What is that practice? What do we do when these kinds of mistakes happen? So there are different opinions, but the Mordechai's option is not really the accepted one. So what are the more accepted views to do when you find a mistake in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah? So the Shulchan Aruch tells us, in effect, that you stop dead in your tracks. The Shulchan Aruch tells us, I'm in the middle of laning, and all of a sudden I get to a word, and I say, hey, Gaval, the word's missing. So the Shulchan Aruch does not just say, I'll just gloss over the word, just say it quickly and don't look and don't tell anybody, and it's only the Rabban anyway. No, Shulchan Aruch says, you can't do that. You're not allowed to read a word without prayer. You have to stop. Now, what would that mean to stop? So the Shulchan Aruch says, well, to stop would normally mean to stop the aliyah. What do you do when you end an aliyah? You make a bracha. So Shulchan Aruch says, how can you make a bracha? You're going to make a bracha on a Apostle Sefer Torah? We paskin that you're not allowed to lay from a Apostle Sefer Torah. What you laned already, Nebuch, all the brachas that you made, you laned the first five aliyahs, Nebuch, we're not going to make you go back and clap al chayt for the brachas of Atala. So whatever happened, the event happened. But for us to tell you, go gezunt hayt and make a bracha, finishing the aliyah, knowing full well that Sefer Torah is missing a word, that is not an option, says the Shulchan Aruch. So now the Shulchan Aruch is putting us into checkmate. We can't read the word b'al peh because Dvar B'Shevich Savi to Rosh B'al peh. You can't... You can't make a bracha to end the aliyah because I can't make a bracha on the Pasuk Sefer Torah. So you have no choice. You have to wrap up the Sefer Torah, take out another Sefer Torah, and continue laning from where you left off. Because remember, everything that happened at the Eved is okay. We're not going to make you go back to the beginning. That's
not the beginning of the aliyah.
No, the Pasha Dvar is just continue.
New
what? No new bracha, no. Your bracha is still intact from the last Sefer Torah. Oh. Means you have no choice. What are you going to do? According to the Shulchan Aruch, to let you make a bracha acharon on the Sefer Torah, on the first Sefer Torah, that's making a bracha on the post Sefer Torah. So you just continue where you left off, because the Shulchan Aruch is not a big fan. He's not in favor of letting you just read from Sukkim that don't exist. So the Ramah doesn't quite say that, which is really what Aprax, the Ashkenazi communities, is. The Ramah says almost like that. The Ramah says it depends. The Ramah says that if you're in a place where you can't end the Aliyah, because you haven't read three psukim yet, or you're within three psukim of a psukha stuma. So then all options are off the table. You cannot just stop and end the aliyah. You have to continue going, and you can't continue going in the Apostle Sefer Torah, because Dvar Mishnah B'Chasav, you're not allowed to do that. So says the Ramah, Leis Bereira, you have to take out another Sefer Torah, like the Shulchan Aruch is recommending. But if you don't have it, then you're a more serious pill. Then becomes a shayla. Is that called the shasar chakid? You haven't done it. Maybe just continue to lay. That's a whole other shayla. But then the Ramah says something fascinating. The Ramah says, let's say you're at a position where you can end the aliyah. You found it right. You're already laying 15 psukim. You're well positioned. You're 10 psukim away from psukim stuma. You could theoretically end the aliyah right then and there. So says the Ramah, so end the aliyah. And what does that mean to end the aliyah?
Make a bracha.
I the Sefer Torah is puzzle. That's okay, says the Rabbah. Since you were Yaitse Kriya Satara. Because since we paskin that b'di'evan you were Yaitse Kriya Satara, you can make a bracha l'chadchila. That's a very, very fine line. I can make a bracha l'chadchila on a Kriya Satara that was good b'di'evan. So again, we're not learning the details of the Kriya Satara right now, but suffice it to say that this idea of the Mordechai is not accepted in Shulchan Aruch and Ramah. This is not the regular Mahalach. So the Mordechai built up this whole case for us that Dvar Mishnah B'Chasav is on the Derabbanan. Don't worry about it. Things okay. Things gevaldik. Don't lose any sleep over it. It's all the Derabbanan. And now we're backpedaling. We're saying, no, not so simple. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't say that. And the Ramah doesn't say that. Other poskim are taking this with the utmost seriousness. We don't want to just read out of psukim that don't exist. That's a serious potential Torah prohibition of Dvar Mishnah B'Chasav. So what we've done, we spoke about it for 2 days already, but all we've done is only answered one, not even answered, we're left with one question still. We just don't know, are we dealing with deraisas or derabanan? That's all we don't know. So on the one hand, we had a gemara in Gittin that quotes psukim, that sounds like it's deraisas. Then we saw a bunch of gemaras and rishonim who are pointing that it's probably only with derabanan. And now we're backpedaling and saying, but other rishonim are disagreeing, and most importantly, in Psach Halacha, the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, don't seem to be going down the route of this Mordechai. So when all the dust settles, can we answer absolutely definitively, is this issa deraisa or issa derabanan? The answer is, we're still not sure. We still don't know. But now, hopefully, Metzah Shem next week, so we have to move on to see, so where does this take us? How does this go back to the Gemara Maseches in Bava Kama of Gibel? That's how we got into this discussion in the first place, about Rav Yosef saying the Psukim, he was blind, saying the Targum, etc. So we still have a lot of work to do, but at least we finished the first part of the Sugya. I told you it's going to be a long Sugya, so it already took us two plus days just to get the first part of the Sugya down pat, and then hopefully that's we have a lot more to try to elaborate on this next
time. Halacha L'maaseh, if you find that you have a problem,